Shastasmi
Rudranam Shastasmi
Vitteso Yaksharakshasam
Vitteso Yaksharakshasam
Vasunam Pavakatasmi
Vasunam Pavakatasmi
Meru Sikharinam Aham
Meru Sikharinam Aham
Rudranam Shankarastasmi
Rudranam Shankarastasmi
Vasunam Pavakastasmi Meru Sikharinamaham Rudranam Shankarastasmi
Vitteso Yaksharakshasam
Vasunam Pavakastasmi
Meru
Sikhariham
Rudranam Shankarastasmi Vitteso Yaksharakshasam
Vasunam Pavakastasmi
Meru Shikharinamaham
Rudranam Shankarastasmi
Vitteso
Yaksharakshasam
Vasunam
Pavakastasmi
Meru
Sikharinamaham
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Guru by Jai Guru Pandit.
Yeah.
Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshasas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kuvira. Of the Vasus, I am the fire, Agni. Of mountains, I am Meru. Very smart purpose. There are 11 Rudras, of whom Shankara, Lord Shiva is the predominant. He is the incarnation of Supreme Lord in charge of world of ignorance in the universe. The leader of the Yakshas and Rakshasas is Kuvira, the master of treasure of the demigods, and his representation of Supreme Lord. Meru is a mountain famed for rich natural resources. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Rasimati Bhakti Chara Swami Niti Namo Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Rasimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pratyari Devi Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschatya Desa Chari Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadasa Vasadi Gauravani Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Rama
So Lord Shiva, a unique personality, several aspects for Lord Shiva are there in Shastras, especially book written by Sanatana Goswami. He mentions about, actually asked Narada Muni, this book begins when Narada Muni travels around the universe and finds out who is the most recipient of Krishna's mercy. He is traveling. First of all, he approaches in Prayag, the Brahman, and he tells him that you are the most lucky person to receive Krishna's mercy. He of course denies it, and he points out finger to somebody else in the southern part of India. Narada Muni travels over there, which is the place, and he tells, he informs that you are the person who is most disciplined of Krishna's mercy. And in the discussion he also says that, no, I am not. Actually, Indra is the one who is most disciplined of Krishna's mercy. So Narada Muni goes to Indra and finds out from him, and he says, no, I am not. He points the finger at Lord Shiva. So now we are coming to Kailas Dham and started to glorify Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva heard that glorification and he said, no, I am not actually really most recipient of Krishna's mercy. Actually, I am not at all very dear to Krishna. And he is mentioning so many things that all these things really clearly indicate that I am not really very, very dear to Krishna. He's mentioning right, he begins right away from there, that if I'm so dear to Krishna, why Krishna has engaged me, kept me in this, in charge of the mode of ignorance? Why Krishna has engaged me in this universal devastation, which is a very difficult task, why he has engaged me in that task, which is not a very good task to finish up everybody in this material world? And then he mentioned so many things that actually are quite often to fight with Krishna, to save my devotees. Why Krishna is asking me to do such services where I have to fight with him again? So Narad Muni tells that no. Actually you are doing a great service to Krishna by doing that activities. You are helping Krishna in his pastimes. Krishna's activities are there and Krishna needs some help. So you are helping out in that way. And he starts beginning from there. He says that Krishna's engagement of yours, this mode of ignorance, he begins that if Krishna was so favorable to me, why did he ask me to drink that poison that came out from this churning of those? Most dangerous thing he asked me to do it. So he said, Krishna found it that there was nobody else can do it except you. So that's why he assigned to it. There is nobody who can take that poison, Kalkut poison. And naturally he did not find anybody. If that had not been taken up, then this churning of those would have been stopped at that point. Devtas and Dhanavas could not do it. So in order to do that thing, he asked you to do that thing. So actually you are the most recipient of the mercy because he asked you to do something which is going to help not only him but which is going to help all over the universe. Otherwise this turning will be stopped. Then he is asking also that he has asked me to keep in the engagement of this devastation, finishing up this war, annihilation of the war. So he's mentioning that this annihilation is not a very good task actually. I'm removing everybody from this material world in one sense, and that's not a great task. Then he has also asked me to do something which is practically totally against Krishna. He asked me that take up the position of Shankaracharya, go down in earthly planet as a Shankaracharya and preach the philosophy of monism, just no dualism. This is what he has asked me to do. And that is absolutely against Krishna's desire. That is exactly opposite to Krishna consciousness. Why he has asked me to do these kind of things? So Narada Muni is replying to that thing. That yes, he asked you to do these things because of several reasons, especially. To be in charge of devastation is not an easy task. It's a very difficult task. All living entities have to be removed. Their bodies have to be kept in the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and the souls have to be kept separate so the time they come, they again come back into their bodies. And when they come back in their bodies, some of them become liberated and some of them don't. So that is the task only you can do it. He knew that he is the only person who can do that task. And also about Shankaracharya, he said that this task was the most impossible task he asked me to do. To preach the philosophy against Krishna consciousness. So how I am so dear, why I am so dear to Krishna, and he is asking me something to do against Krishna consciousness. So he said at one point in India, in that point in Bharatvarsha, Buddhism is so prevalent. And that was total atheism. In order to drive out that thing, Krishna has to do something. And Krishna requested Lord Shiva that you please go and become Shankaracharya and preach the philosophy of Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. He said, preach this philosophy. In this philosophy, make sure that you say I am Brahman, you are Brahman, and everybody else is Brahman, and we are all equal. We are all one. Don't worry about it. Don't worship anything. Yes, we are all equal. With this philosophy. To drive away the philosophy of Buddhism, which is atheist philosophy. And he did it, of course, very successfully. We know that Shankaracharya was able to preach the philosophy of this monism or this non-dualistic philosophy, where he says that everything is one. This world is false and only Brahma Satya. Brahma is only Satya. Everything else is just false, temporary false. Everything else is false. So he said, because you are very giving, that's why he gave you this task. Actually, if you see Shankaracharya really, his philosophy, he said, Narada Muni said that actually if you see, Shankaracharya had to do that act because he was asked by Krishna to do it. He was playing a role of an actor on the drama. And when somebody is acting something like that, he has to act perfectly so that the role is perfected. In reality, Shankaracharya was not against this philosophy. He mentioned that how come, if Shankaracharya's philosophy was so prevalent, then how come we are reading all those 8 verses of Gita Mahatmya written by Shankaracharya? Not only that, in one of the verses, Shankaracharya very clearly mentions about worship of Lord Sri Krishna very clearly. He very clearly mentioned about those things. So then how come you are telling that he is against Krishna consciousness? Actually, you have been asked to perform some part on a drama stage and you did very perfectly. That's all. That doesn't mean that you are like that person. He said, no, you are not like that. He mentioned very clearly. He said that Shankaracharya's philosophy may be against Krishna consciousness, but whatever his thoughts are there, whatever his real understanding, was Krishna conscious understanding, he said that. He mentioned very clearly. And that's why always we read 8 verses of glorification of Gita, and in that 8 verses very clearly is mentioned about Krishna's past and Krishna's presence very clearly it is mentioned. So he said, that is not right, you don't have to worry about that thing. Then he's telling about other past and other things that, yes, my position is of course very unique. Unique in the sense that I am neither Jiva nor Vishnu Tattva. Not Jiva Tattva nor Vishnu Tattva. Very unique position I am having. And he explained that thing that as a Jiva Tattva, you are occupying a post, like a post of president, post of Brahma or post of Indra. You are occupying a position. And very close to Vishnu Tattva, you are very close to them, but you are not also that. Then you are a personality. And he's mentioning that you have a dham in Vaikuntha dham beyond this material realm, which is known as Sadasiv dham, where you recite eternally. Not only that, Krishna is very, very dear to you, he's telling that, Narada, that is why he has given something very important in Vrindavan also. The Vrindavan that is there in the bone place in earthly planet, and that is nothing but the replica of Goloka Vrindavanam directly. It is non-different than Goloka Vrindavanam. And you have very important position in your in Vrindavan. He mentioned that. It's a very important position. At one time, Lord Shiva wanted to, there's a pastime on a connection with that. At one time, Lord Shiva wanted to enter into the pastimes of Rasvilanas. It's a very confidential pastime of Krishna. Very, very qualified persons are allowed only. Not anybody else can enter. So he prayed to Purnamasi that I would like to enter into Rasvila pastimes. So Purnamasi said, yes, I will fulfill your desire. She took Lord Shiva into Brahmakund, dip him into them, and he came out as a gopi. And that gopi Purnamasi took to the Rasanas Thali, Lila place, where the Rasanas was taking place, was going to take place. And this gopi was hiding behind the group, because she is a new, totally new person, new personality there. She was hiding in the group. Krishna and their gopis suspected something, that somebody here came, which really does not belong over here, it looks like that, somebody. They can feel, they have some feeling about that thing. So they started to look for that gopi. Which is that gopi? And that gopi she found hiding behind the group. They put her out from there. Another gopi started to ask question. What's your name? What's your husband's name? What's your in-law's name? Where are you coming from? She has no answer because she was dismayed by Purnamasi and the gopi. She did not have any of those answers. So she could not give any answer. They started slapping this gopi. So much so they slept that her cheeks were swollen practically. So he cried out for Purnamasi again. Purnamasi, Purnamasi, I don't want to enter in this pastime. Please help me out from this situation. So Purnamasi came over there again. And she explained that this was Krishna's desire and I am bringing this gopi. Krishna came over there also at the same time and Krishna said, yes, this gopi should be taken into Rasa dance. And her name will be Gopeshwar Mahadeva. Gopeshwar. Gopeshwar means one whose Ishwar is Gopi. One who is controlled by the other Gopis. Gopeshwar Mahadeva. And that's the place in Vrindavan. And that's the eternal place for Lord Shiva in Vrindavan. Narada Muni is telling you, this is your place, eternal place in Vrindavan here now. And Gopeshwar Mahadeva is a Mahadeva dressed up in a gopi dress. And that temple is still there. And that temple, very important temple for Vrindavan. After that, there are many, many different temples of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan area. But this specific temple, which is a Gopeshwar Mahadeva temple, Gopeshwar temple, where Lord Shiva is in the gopi form and entering the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. So Narada Muni is telling that how lucky you are. Nobody is allowed in this pastime except the gopis, important gopis. And you have become one of the important gopis to come into this pastime. So see here. And then Narada Muni is also telling, comparing him. Then Lord Shiva said, no, I am not still very, very favorable to Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj, he's pointing now finger to somebody else. These things keep on going until the fingers showing go and then finally it comes to gopis later on. This whole past, whole thing is there. But now Narada Muni, Lord Shiva is telling me, Prahlad Maharaj was a very lucky person. He's very. Then Narada Muni is telling, no. Prahlad Maharaj had never any place in Vrindavan. You see, he was a very dear most servant, bhakta, of course, Narasimha Bhagavan. But do you see him in this Vrindavan pastime, Prahlad Maharaj? No, he was not. He's not allowed in this pastime. He's not very much more dear than you. See, you are the one who is very dear. So he's talking about Prahlad Maharaj. He said, no. Prahlad Maharaj's position is different. Prahlad Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord. And he's on a different platform than me. I'm staying in my post and I'm also a personality. Now he's distinguishing two things. That I have also a post. And I have also a personality. In personality form, I'm very close to Krishna. But in the form of post, when I'm holding a position, I am not very dear to Krishna. I have to do something which is not very enjoyable, which is not very good for me, and which is not very good for anybody else also. And he's mentioning about that post. His post, he's talking, the post of devastation, he's saying. He mentioned that there are different devastations that take place in this universe. One at the end of the days of Brahma. When one day of Brahma is finished, the devastation takes place. The whole universe is finished. Goes into different place, goes into sleep. And then when 100 years of Brahma life is finished, the total devastation takes place. And they say, I am responsible for that devastation. And that's the job I don't like it. He's telling that when one day of Brahma is finished, all the souls, everything, including me, I enter into the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and rest there. Until the day finishes and then another day comes up, then we come back again. And at the end of 100 years of Brahma's life, everything becomes finished. Everything, whole universe, all the Garbhodakshaya. There are so many different universes and there are so many Garbhodakshaya Vishnus. So all those Garbhodakshaya Vishnus, with all the living entities, they enter into the Karnodakshaya Vishnu. And they stay there until the next event starts up. And then they come back as all Garbhodakshaya Vishnu living. So this process I don't like. This is not. He said, no, that's the job given to me. And here is mentioned about this name Rudra. Lord Shiva's position, as I mentioned, is very close to, he is not at Vishnutattva, but he is much more closer to Vishnutattva in one sense also than Brahma. Brahma's position is a position of creation. Of course, he is a secondary creation. Lord Vishnu is the first creator. And secondary creation, but the universe is created secondary by Brahma. And naturally, when Lord Shiva is destroying those universes, so that is also a position for Lord Shiva. Because Brahma's position is to create, and Lord Shiva's position is to destroy, so it becomes a position. So Lord Shiva is also a position, like Indra has a position. Indra is a position. Indra is not a name of the person. Indra is a name of the position. Like president of this country is a position, and there can be different presidents every year or every 4 year, 5 year, or whatever time presidents can change. But that's a position. So similarly, Brahma is a position, Indra is a position, and Lord Shiva says, mine is also a position. And he says that further, he explains it further, that yes, I am, when in the material universe, there is a qualified person, a person who performs 100 years of varnasrama dharma perfectly, then he becomes qualified to become Brahma. Becomes qualified, doesn't mean that he will become Brahma. He is eligible to become Brahma. That's the requirement for to become Brahma. And when person in that position performs that position nicely, perfectly, for another 100 years, then that person becomes qualified to become Rudra, Lord Shiva's expansion. Lord Shiva has many expansions. Sadashiva is a Vishnutattva expansion, and then there are expansions in the material world, and the Rudra are all material expansions. And Rudra is the one who is responsible for finishing this world. Rudra. He finishes the world. So Rudra expansion is also, and that's a Jiva Tattva. So Lord Shiva has a Jiva Tattva at this point in Rudra's expansion. In this position, he behaves like a Jiva Tattva. But in the position of a personality, he behaves like a Vishnu Tattva. Because his personality, when his personality is there, Gopeshwar Mahadev, it is mentioned that Gopeshwar Mahadev, Bhima, Hanumana, Bhim, Hanuman, these two persons, Bhim and Hanuman, of course, both of them are brothers. And in one sense, they are all related to also Lord Shiva. We'll see that also. Bhim is a Vayuputra, Hanuman is a Vayuputra. And Gopeshwar Mahadev also. All of them three engage in services of Lord Vishnu. As we mentioned, Gopeshwar already engaging in service of Lord Sri Krishna in past times. Hanuman, of course, in service of Lord Ramchandra. And Bhima also, always, of course, in the service of Lord Sri Krishna. And when Bhima and Hanuman, they combine, Madhvacharya appears. The Sampradaya, Santapaka Acharya, Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. Madhvacharya is the first person. Of course, it is, we know that is Narad, Vyas, and then Madhva, and then of course all of them become one after another. So when Hanuman and Bhima, they combine together, it becomes Madhvacharya, who appears as a Madhvacharya, and that's our Sampradaya Acharya. We belong to Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya. Of course, it began from Madhvacharya. Brahma Madhva is responsible. It's a Brahma Madhva Gaudiya, Brahma Madhva Sampradaya to begin with. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into this Sampradaya, it became Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya after that. So that's a Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And that is what he mentioned here, that also this is the position. So we all belong to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are in that succession. So he is mentioning about the position. Then also he is comparing, Narada Muni is telling that yes, your position is not different than Vishnu in one sense, he said. He is giving, of course this is given in Brahma Samhita very clearly explained, that when milk is touched by little acid, it becomes yogurt. And practically, constitutively, milk and yogurt both are same. Nothing has been changed except little acid in touch with the milk and becomes yogurt. Otherwise, constitutionally, both of them are same. But at the same time, yogurt is not a milk. Definitely, it is something different. So similarly, he said that Krishna wants to do something in this realm, then he comes, or he actually this analogy is not perfect analogy in one sense, because when milk is touched by the acid, it gets transformed into yogurt. And then Krishna never comes in touch with material energy. If Krishna has to do that thing, then he has to do through the agency of Lord Shiva. But Krishna never gets transformed into anything, where the milk is transferred into yogurt now. So milk is finished and yogurt. Krishna never gets transferred into anything, transformed into anything. He remains Krishna as it is. So that analogy is just giving the idea of cause and effect, not exact analogy that milk is converting into yogurt, so Krishna comes in contact with material energy through Shiva, so it's converting into something else. No, Krishna remains as it is. Krishna is nothing. Krishna is not transferring into anything. Actually, it is Lord Shiva who does everything in this context. So that is what he says, that this is your position. So constitutionally you are same like Krishna. You are none different than Krishna. In order to do certain aspects of material work, you have to do this thing, and that's why you are putting into this situation. Then Narada Muni explains that there are different aspects or there are different considerations of your relationship with Lord Krishna. He said, first aspect is a philosophical aspect. Second aspect is a majestic aspect or Aishwarya aspect. And third aspect is the human pastimes aspect. These are different aspects. Very, very nice aspects here. He's explaining, Narada Muni tells him, that in this philosophical tattva aspect of Lord Shiva, when Lord wants to create this universe, when Lord wants to start some creation, Krishna expands into Sankarsana. Of course, there are different expansions. First of all, we are taking only one expansion of Sankarsana. And that Sankarsana expands into Mahasankarsana, Mahavishnu. The creative desire to create the material world is there. And then, from this Mahasankarsana, from the eyes, from the central place between two eyebrows, the light comes out. And the shadow of that light is called Ling of Sambhu, Sambhu Linga. And that is, light is permanent, eternal, but Sambhu Linga is not. So that is coming out from Mahavishnu. And now there is another aspect of for creation. Creation cannot be done just with one Sambhu Linga. Another aspect is necessary. And that is also the expansion of Mahavishnu, Ramadevi. Ramadevi is none different than Lakshmi Devi. In the Vaikuntha Dham, Ramadevi is the wife of Narayan known as Lakshmi Devi. And from Ramadevi comes up the another shadow expansion which is known as Yoni expansion. So that's Linga and Yoni. And with the combination of that, the world is created. That's the philosophical aspect of this first understanding of Lord Shiva's position, Sambhu, position of Sambhu. Second aspect is Aishwarya aspect, majestic aspect, majestic understanding. Lord Shiva is telling one story in order to understand this majestic aspect or this majestic thing of Lord Krishna, how he is related with Krishna, in short. From the philosophical viewpoint, he is related with Krishna because of this Linga and Yoni, and they come originally from Krishna to Sankarsana to Mahasankarsana, and from there everything comes out. So that's the one aspect. The second aspect of majestic aspect is that a very nice story. He explains relation with Krishna. Story of Banasura. Aniruddha being kidnapped by Banasura because Banasura found out that Aniruddha, Krishna's great grandson, has some relation with my daughter. He did not approve it, and they captured him and they took him and they kept them as captive. And the others did not know what happened to Aniruddha. Finally, Narada Muni informed that, hey, Aniruddha is being captured as captive there by Banasura. And Banasura is a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Actually, Banasura, when Lord Shiva was performing dance, Banasura with 1,000 hands were playing drums very rhythmically. And Lord Shiva became very pleased with Banasura, and he said, I am going to give you the boon of, you are not going to die. You will not die. Immortality. Now, Yadavas found out that Anirudha has been captured there. So they sent a whole big army, of course Krishna along with that. And the battle started between Banasur, Lord Shiva, of course. Banasur was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, so Lord Shiva took side of Banasur. And battle began between the two of them to release Anirudha from captivity. And of course Krishna, by his Sudarshan Chakra, removed all the hands of Banasur, leaving four hands only in the battle. So Lord Shiva came to know that this seems to be the end now with Krishna's fight. So he bowed down to Krishna. He prayed to Krishna, please forgive me to take the side of Banasur, but because he was my bhakta, so I have to take that side. And please spare me now from this. Save me. So Krishna said, of course. Banasur, being the son of Bali Maharaj, being the great grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and being a great devotee of yours, I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to make him immortal. So Banasur became immortal. So this is a majestic relationship of Lord Shiva and Krishna in that relationship. Krishna, Lord Shiva is very closely related to Krishna. And the human-like relationship is very interesting pastime of Lord Shiva. But Lord Ramchandra was in exile with his wife and younger brother Lakshmana. They were in Dandakaranya forest. And Sitadevi, of course, was abducted by Ravana. And Lord Ramchandra was looking for her, weeping, crying, and asking everybody, trees and plants and whoever comes across here, have you seen Sita? And have you seen Sita? Have you seen Sita? Nobody said anything. Lord Shiva was personally present at that time on that same place. So, after these events, Sati was also there. Shiva's wife was also there. So, Lord Shiva was bowing down to this whole area of this forest where Lord Ramchandra was being and praying, please be merciful to me, be merciful to me, be merciful to me. So Satyadevi was surprised that, what are you doing here on this ground? What is happening? Who are you praying to? So he said, I am praying to Lord Ramchandra. So Satyadevi asked, you are praying to Lord Ramchandra, who behaves like an ordinary man, crying for his wife and asking plants and trees and bushes and everybody, where is my wife? He does not know where his wife is. I know it, he says. I know where his wife is. He does not know. He's crying like this. Lord Shiva said, he did not answer this. He kept on asking that, why you are praying to this person who is behaving like an ordinary human being? Lord Shiva said, if you want to test, go and test him. I know who this person is. I know this personality. So Sati decided to test Lord Ramchandra. Sati, of course, being in charge of this illusory potency, illusory energy, she changed herself into a form of Sita Devi. She became exactly look like Sita. And while Ramchandra was crying and weeping, she went in front of him a couple of times back and forth. She thought that Ramchandra will recognize me as a Sita and he will embrace me. And very good, I found my Sita. Ramchandra did not embrace me. After a couple of times, Ramchandra asked him, Sati Mataji, where are you? Where is your husband, Sankara? Sati could not believe this thing, that he recognized me. He was in fearful situation. He said, that's it. He seemed to be a very great offense. He bowed down to him and he left. Lord Shiva was sitting under the banyan tree and Lord Shiva asked, did you test? Did you test him out? Sati lied it. No, I did not test him. I took your words that he is supreme, so I just did not test him. So, Lord Shiva said, okay, you became Sita man. You are Sita. And I know what happened. I have seen it, what happened. I can see it in my meditation, what has happened there. He said that when you lie, it is said in Shastras, when you try to cheat somebody or when you try to lie to your guru or to your master, you go into hellish conditions. You lied to me. I know that you have gone there to test Lord Ramachandra becoming a Sita. And Sita Mata is my mother. So now onwards I am going to accept you as my mother, not my wife. Satyavati was stunned. Satya and Shiva went to Kailasdham again from there. And now Shiva changed his position. Wife is supposed to be sitting on the left hand side. He changed his position, he put his position in front. Disciples should be sitting in front of guru or wife. Mother should be sitting in front of mother should be sitting in front of son, like that. So Satyadeva could not take this thing. See, this is not possible. This is separation. And Shiva went into a deep meditation. Not letting her sit on the left hand side as wife is supposed to sit. Sitting in front of Satyadeva could not take it. She decided to leave this body. I am separated from Lord Shiva now. So the occasion comes up again very quickly. And Daksha Prajapati, whose father, who is his daughter, so Sati was a daughter of Daksha Prajapati, he was performing some big in India. And he invited everybody from the universe except his Sati daughter. He did not invite because of some conflicting relation with Lord Shiva. It's a different pastime altogether. So he said she was not invited. So he asked Lord Shiva that, can I go and visit my parents because of some great ceremonies going on? He said, you should not go. I don't think so. It is not worthwhile to go there. She said, everybody is going. I want to see my mother and relatives and everybody. So if you want to go, you can go. So she decided to go. When guru or denies you to do something, you should not do that thing. If you still do it, the consequences are very bad. Sati went on her own. And she saw that there was no respect for Lord Shiva. Everybody has some person there, but Lord Shiva was not there at all. No. So she became very agitated. She became angry and she created a fire from her body and she burned to death. That's the thing. She finishes her body, of course, then there is a big chaotic situation comes up and Lord Shiva's associates are there. Sati, I'm going to cut down very quick before we go over time. Shiva's associates were there, so they saw that Sati is burning there. So they went to Lord Shiva, running, and they told Lord Shiva. So the whole army of this ghosts and horse goblins and pichasi, rakshasi, they all came up there. And they started destroying everything for Daksha Prajapati and everybody ran around for their life. It was finished. So this is how Sati finished her life. In next life she was born as a daughter of Himalaya and she became Parvati. And she again married to Lord Shiva after that. Because she was separated from her because of the motherly relationship and that's the reason. And now lastly, Lord Shiva is always chanting the name of Lord Rama. Always meditating on Lord Rama. Now question comes up, which Ram he is talking about? Of course it is Sitaram, one of the definitely names there. So at the same time, it is not Sitaram he is chanting. Lord Shiva is chanting the Ram, whose mool mantra is Balram. From Balram this Ram name came up. And Lord Shiva is meditating on Sankarsan. Sankarsan is the expansion from Balram. Balram is the first expansion of Krishna and then Sankarsan is another expansion from Balram that comes out. And he is meditating on Sankarsan, that's Ram. And then there is also Balram, there is Parshuram, there is Lord Ramchandra, there are many, many Rams mentioned in this. Which Ram he is chanting? Then Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what Ram we are chanting? And then it is explained that it is none of those Rams. Seems to be that Ramchandra of Sita's husband, but no. He said it is Radharaman Ram. Radharaman is the name of another Krishna. And one who is enjoying, Raman means enjoying or getting pleasure from Radharani. That Radharaman is Krishna. And that Radharaman name is Ram.
And that is what we are chanting. So we are chanting all Krishna's names and Radha's names. Sing to Lord Ramchandra's name in our mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. That Ram is not that name, is mentioned in Shastra, that this Ram's name is this name, is Radha Raman Ram. Radha Raman is nobody, but one who is enjoying with Radha Raman is called Radha Raman. And that Radha Raman Ram, the Ram name we are chanting in his heart, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that is what Lord Shiva is chanting continuously, that Ram. This is some of this. Aspects of Lord Shiva's glories. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.